Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
I want to preach this morning on the will of God. Now, 1 Corinthians in chapter 1, I've not preached it in a while, but I have preached it before. And I trust that you'll get a hold of what the Apostle Paul is saying to the church of Corinth. I'm going to try to make it as clear as I can and bring it down and put all the cookies on the lower shelf so that we know what is going on. Let me give you a little background before I have you stand and I read a couple of verses. Number one, Paul is writing to the church of Corinth. This is a church Paul had to deal with in this letter, their carnality and their immaturity. The city of Corinth was a large metropolitan city. There were three deep water harbors into the city of Corinth. The temple Diana was there, and all kinds of idol worship and debauchery. As a matter of fact, the amphitheater, the wineries, they were famous. Corinth was famous for its wineries and its drunkenness and its debauchery, and a lot of their idol worship had to do with immorality. It was like the Las Vegas on steroids of the old Mediterranean world. And for someone to be Corinthianized meant that they were immoral and they were wicked and they were evil. That was just what Corinth was known for. And isn't it just like God to plant a New Testament church in the heart of that city and go right for the jugular vein of Satan? And this New Testament church was gifted of God and done a great work for God. Some of them, they brought their baggage with them into the church, and Paul had to deal with it. They're effeminists, their homosexuality, that's what some of them used to be before they got born again. They're evil, their wickedness, they're putting up with immorality. That was what they used to be, and Paul had to remind them, now you're a child of God, and Belial has no right and no fellowship with the works of righteousness, with the temple of God. He had to remind him of all these things. Paul here in this, with that as a background, he starts out the first chapter and put right where the rubber meets the road. And let me say this, we are all called of God. We all have a work to do. We all have purpose. Whether you're a law enforcement officer or a housewife, whether you're an engineer or a farmer, butcher, baker, candlestick maker, whatever it is, there is a will of God, a call of God upon your life. Let's stand together. Let me read just a couple of verses. Verses 1 and 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2. And I want to preach this morning an incredible truth that is God's plan. It is just what you need. And you understand this morning. Jesus is everything in your life, or you miss it all. You miss it all. Jesus is everything in the life of Tim Rader, or I miss it all. And what I'm doing is I'm living on the fringes and living on incidentals that aren't going to stand for eternity. And there's no reward there, and there's nothing there, and people aren't getting saved, and you get all caught up in that. That's a mistake. Verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother. We don't know a lot about him, but we know he was a saved man. He's recorded in Acts in chapter 18 and verse 17. His name is written down. And by the way, you make sure your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's where it really counts. It'd be wonderful to have our name written down in the Bible, wouldn't it? But that isn't going to happen. But our name, when you get born again, is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified, set apart in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, holy ones, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Go ahead and be seated. The word called here is the Greek word ketos, and it is found five times in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. And it simply means invited. Don't super spiritualize it. It means invited. There's another word. It's the word chosen. It's ekoos, and it is found three times. And that word means favored. It says in verse 1, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. Now, you and I are never going to be called to be an apostle. There were only 12 apostles, and they were called of God, and God used them in mighty ways, and they were part of the beginnings, the pillars of the church of Jesus Christ before the word of God was completed. So being called of God, it isn't going to happen where you're going to be called of God to be an apostle. I am never going to be called of God to be an apostle. No matter what radio preacher uses that as a title, that is wrong. It is unbiblical. There were 12 apostles, and they're going to be seated around the throne of God, those 12 thrones, that along with probably the 12 leaders of the Old Testament tribes of Israel, 24 thrones around the throne of God, but there are 12 apostles. We are not called of God to be an apostle, but we are called of God, verse 2, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified or set apart in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, holy ones. An apostle, that's an office. A saint, that is a lifestyle. That is a life that is pleasing unto God. And it says not only the church at Corinth is called to be a saint, it says with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Me too. You're born again. You belong to God. You have the calling of God upon your life to live out the gospel of Jesus Christ. For such a time as this, instead of bewailing the day and age in which we live, think of Esther. For such a time as this, we have been raised up. A dispensation of the gospel is committed unto us, this period of time, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have been called, we are born again for this moment, this day, and this hour. That's why you got born again, and you're part of the family of God, and you're here at Fundamental Baptist Church, an old-time religion church, a church that is a Bible people, a praying people. God has raised you up for this day and this hour. Your calling of God is to be a saint of God. We read on in verse 9, says, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. We are called of God to be full-time, 24/7 children of God. Forget about making money. Forget about getting more. Forget about being popular. We are called of God to be saints of God. When people see you, hear your name, they ought to recognize Jesus in your lifestyle. In every situation where you've got that balance that we talked about in Sunday school this morning, where you're that representative of the rock Christ Jesus. And people look at you and they know that you're a child of God, a holy one, a saint of God, set apart for the glory of God. Now that's just introduction, and I want to encourage you in a big way in these next several verses. Verse 1, or verse 10 of chapter 1. Now I beseech you, if you were in Sunday school this morning, Paul used that word with two ladies that were fighting amongst themselves. He said, I beg you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he's worthy, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. In other words, you find a way to get together. These people in Corinth were fractious. They were divisive. They were easy to offend one another. They said, that is immature. You've got to grow up. You've got to find a way. We are together. And the word he uses here for perfectly joined, it's the same Greek word used for setting a bone. In other words, the bone, it's a compound fracture. There's been a break. But you put the bone together and you put it in its proper place and you take care of it, you stabilize it. And when that bone heals, it'll be stronger at the break than it ever was before the break. He said, that's the way it is in the family of God. He said, that's the way I want it in the church at Corinth. You've been divisive. You've been divided. You've been fractious. You're breaking up into different camps. He said, I want you to find a way to get together and be perfectly joined together like a broken bone, and you'll be stronger than ever. Paul said, I beg you, find a way to stay together. Do you know that none of us are going to agree on everything all of the time? Do you have perfect harmony in your household behind your front door and within those four walls all of the time? You say, no, because we live together. And then, you know, we're both human. You have children that give you problems from time to time. You got a parent that you don't understand. You know, there's going to be divisiveness. But you do the right thing, and you do it with the right spirit. Here's what Paul's saying. You find a way to get together. Let me read real quickly. It hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, it's known by them which are of the household of Chloe, that there are contentions among you, fightings. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I'm of Paul, and I'm of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius. By the way, there's a great passage, a great verse against baptismal regeneration. Baptism doesn't save. Paul's the greatest soul winner that ever lived in the New Testament. And he says, I'm thankful I didn't baptize you. Man, you're making a mess of the family of God. He was thankful that he led him to the Lord, but he wasn't. He said, I'm thankful I didn't baptize you. He said, they were dividing up into camps and leadership, and the leadership wasn't divided. Lest any should say that I baptized in mine own name, and I baptized also the household of Stephanus, besides I know not whether I baptized any other. He simply says, you've got to find a way. The flesh is divisive. We spend enough time together, we're going to find something we don't like about one another. But when you're family, you stay together anyway. You love one another, and if Christ can love this sinner man, I can love anybody. If I just keep it all in perspective, and Christ, who doesn't throw me aside when I go astray, if Christ can love me, I ought to be able to forbear anybody's problem and love any child of God. That's why we are called brethren. How good and how pleasant for the brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the oil that drips down from Aaron's beard. What picturesque language the psalmist used. You get a New Testament church that knows how to mature and live in harmony. Man, that's a wonderful thing. Now, there's always going to be a nursery at the church. There's always going to be people in need. But the adults take over, and you honor God. So he says to the church of Corinth, I know of no problem going on here right now. I want you to know that. I know there are problems because we're a big enough church that's going on all the time. I know that. But I do know this. The grace of God is bigger than my problem. Amen. The love of God is bigger than your personal problem and your baggage that you're carrying. Yeah. And there's a greater purpose and something that's bigger than you and I. It's the cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the New Testament church of God. What a wonderful privilege we have. So he says here, you find a way to be together and to get together and not be divisive. It's like the guy that was marooned and shipwrecked on a desert island, and a big ocean liner came by and they saw the signal of the campfire. So they rescued him from the island, and the captain said, I got a question to ask you. You're alone on the island. He said, absolutely alone. What are these three huts for? He said, well, that one hut, that's where I live. The other hut, that's where I go to church. He said, well, what's the third hut? He said, well, that's the church I used to go to. You know, sometimes we don't even get along with ourselves. It's like I do the dumbest things. I feel like I ought to sue my brain for lack of support sometimes. It happened once already this morning. You know, just dumb things that sometimes they're mistakes, sometimes they're poor choices. But that's what the family of God is for. We're there to help one another. You don't condone any wickedness. You don't condone any sin, but you love them. You love them, and you let them know, man, Jesus is right here, and he's there for you if you just reach out to him, and nobody's going to love you like we love you. Verse 17, he says in verses 10 through 16, get together. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. In Acts 17, they called the apostle Paul a babbler. He wasn't a babbler. He was a preacher of the word of God. He was a Bible preacher, but the natural man doesn't understand the things of God. But Paul was standing up and he was proclaiming to them Jesus, the Son of God, who went to the cross, went to the grave, and then rose again on the third day and ascended on up into heaven. Sent his Holy Spirit, and the church was born. And Paul, they called Paul a madman. They called him a babbler, a putter forth of strange doctrines. And it was just the unsaved people not understanding what but the apostle Paul was all about preaching. Even though his vessel was weak, and he stood before them sometimes shaking and at the edge of his life. And he knew people wanted to stone him and kill him. But he was a preacher. Titus chapter 1 and verse 3. God in these last days has manifested his son through preaching. Go to 2 Timothy, just over a couple of books. 2 Timothy in chapter 4. Preach the word, verse 2. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long suffering and doctrine. That's Bible preaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. It's party time, and we'll just add the name of Jesus to it. Instead of preaching time, instead of hearing the word of God, instead of a God-anointed man, a God-called man, standing up and communicating with unction the word of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11 tells us, and it's the nuclear weapon of the New Testament church, although it's found in the Old Testament, Isaiah 55 and verse 11, where God says, my word will not return void. You spit it out and something good is going to happen. The Bible gets results. So we got to preach the word of God. Let's go back to the first chapter again. It's about Jesus, the preaching of the cross, the preaching of the gospel, verse 17, preaching of the cross, verse 18, verse 19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise and where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Like in 1970, the New Ice Age, Time Magazine, over and over again. Like global warming, over and over again. Now it's climate change, over and over again. A lot of false science, and what a lot of the lack of Bible preaching develops doubt, even in the hearts of believers. That's why, listen to this, that's why there are born-again people in churches that no longer preach the Bible, and if I ask them if they're saved and going to heaven, they don't know for sure, because they're not hearing the Bible. They're not hearing the word of God. And my message to them is get out of those churches. You're not going to do anything as a doubter. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And the first time you fight, you get in a hot, heated battle, spiritually speaking, in your own life. If you have doubts, you're done. You're dead in the water. Man, you're going with the current. And I know this. I know this because of funerals that I do and knocking on doors. There are people all over this tri-county area, and I see them. And after talking to them, some of them say, well, I've already done that. I guess I am born again. But they don't have assurance. And they don't have assurance because a man isn't in the pulpit preaching the Bible. Let's go back again to verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. All that kind of preaching isn't going to do it. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Wow. God uses sinful men. Let me say something. I don't know how much further I'm going to get in the text. We have young men here that are called to preach. We have young ladies here called to full-time service. We have older people here called of God to preach. We all have a different place in God's great choir. Some of you preach in the prisons. Praise God. That's preaching. That's preaching. Some of you preaching Bible studies and teaching Bible studies. Praise God. That's your spot. That's where you're at. Some of us have a pulpit ministry right in front of the New Testament local church. Some in a Sunday school class. But praise God, you have that opportunity to, you're not pastoring a church. You're sharing emphatically the word of God with unction. And that is wonderful. And if God calls you to stand on a platform and stand in the pulpit and preach, young man, you make sure you surrender to God. You'll never find fulfillment in anything apart from preaching and God-ordained preaching. You'll not find any kind of fulfillment outside of that. Let me say this. You do not have to be talented to preach the word of God. You don't have to be skilled, naturally speaking, to be used of God. You don't have to be good looking, praise God for that, to be used of God. Man, you don't have to sing like a songbird in order to be used of God. You just got to show up. That's going to be my last point. I don't think I'm ready to preach my last point yet. I got just a little bit more time. Let me read on here. Verse 22. For the Jews require a sign. Immature. The Bible says the wicked require a sign. And the Greeks seek after wisdom, empty knowledge. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews, a stumbling block. Don't make sense to them. Unto the Greeks, foolishness. It seems too simplistic. You know what it is? It's not a show. It is not hocus pocus. It is not America's Got Talent. It is preaching Jesus. That's where it's at. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and of the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Okay, let's plant right here now this morning. For you see your calling, brethren. Here's this calling again, used five times in this book. Here's your calling, brethren. You find your calling, by the way. Find out what it is and be faithful and be used of God. And I'll give you a little secret. If you're faithful in some little things, God will fill your plate a little bit more and a little bit more. And a little bit more. I could never have pastored Fundamental Baptist Church when I surrendered to preach. I could never have pastored this work when I got out of Bible college. I could never have pastored a church of this size 10 years into my ministry. God just gives you a little more. You stay faithful and a little more. And you'll be shocked at where God brings you in life. He says here, our calling God, he says, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. By the way, that's me. And I say this again, we don't need to be an uptown church. We don't need to be a downtown church. We don't need to be a downstate church. We're a church here in the Eastern Upper Peninsula. And we're to do things God's way and reflect Jesus properly to the world. And we're called to be saints. That's holy ones. You know what that tells me? Some of us got to get right with God because we're not holy. And we're not even attempting to be holy. He said, this is your calling. You're called of God to be saints. And he says, you find your calling, you find your spot, you find your place in the great orchestra of God. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty and the base things, that's the nobodies of the world, and things which are despised. And hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. Young man, you're here and you've surrendered and you're called of God and you know it. And you're sitting here this morning and you're thinking, I'm not sure I can do it. And you have a respect for the office and for the calling of God. That's a good thing. But you're doubting your own abilities. Look up here. You're the one that God has called. You are that very person that no flesh should glorify. Read the rest of the chapter. We don't have time to read it. You're the very one that God has called and God is going to use. And if you'll surrender and you'll be surrendered now. You'll start being used of God now. You'll make a difference in school now. You'll make a difference with your peer group now. God will, he'll keep giving you a little more and a little more and a little more. Man, when I first started out, I had nothing. I had nothing to give God. Here's what I know. Here's my testimony. I wrote some of this down. I knew one thing. I was thankful I was saved. I knew that. I knew that God answered my prayers, even in junior high. It happened again and again. You know why? Because I was thankful that I was saved. I loved congregational singing, even as a teenager. Dead, boring church songs. Man, I loved it. I loved to get with my peers, and there was a whole row of us, and it wasn't a big church, but we all tried to outsing one another, all the young guys. They were all football players. We just tried to outsing one another. I wanted to sing from the bottom of my heart. I wanted to sing louder than Joel right here next to me or John right there, the two people down. And he had a great voice, so I had to really work at it. I wanted to lift my voice to God. I loved congregational singing. I loved Bible camp. I had a real relationship with Jesus. I loved my Savior, Jesus Christ. I loved my church. But wait a minute. I can't stand up there and preach. No how, no way. And God brought me through a series of dead ends where he's hitting me over the head every time. And I finally surrendered. And I went to Bible college scared to death. I didn't know the books of the Bible. I was afraid I was going to embarrass myself, and I did many times in class. And it was part of my struggle. You know what? I didn't know anything. I knew very little about the Word of God because I fell away from God for a few years in high school. Not that I didn't get off in any deep, dark sin, but I just wasn't, you know, I just kind of got cold towards God. Praise God for his mercy. Amen. The calling of God is without repentance. If you are called of God, the best thing you can do is surrender right now. That is it. Let's look at chapter 2. Real quickly, chapter 2. I pinch myself every once in a while. I'm amazed at what God has done. And yeah, it's been 43 years, but I'm amazed. And it doesn't feel like it's been 43 years. Sometimes you need to just kind of take some deep breaths and step back. You know what God has done for us here? And we're a nobody, a bunch of nobodies up in the middle of nowhere. Look at the church house this morning. Sometimes I walked around last night. I walked around, the stars were out last night. It was late at night and just looked at the buildings. I walked through the buildings and stood out there on the edge of the parking lot out there on M80 and looked at all that God has done. And you know, none of that was here before. And that wasn't a Nebuchadnezzar moment. That's giving glory to God. I pinch myself. Man, how is this? God is so good to me. Look what it says in chapter 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. You can be too big for God to use, but you can never be too small for God to use. You get full of yourself, you'll never be used of God. I don't care how good you can sing. I don't care how much talent you have. You'll never be used of God. But if you're just that small, weak vessel, God will use you. Go to 2 Corinthians in chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let me read the rest of 1 Corinthians 2, verse 3 and 4. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. He said, listen, I stood before you. You know it. I stood before you. And Paul said, I'm not a pulpiteer. I'm not the guy that's real flowery tongued, great language. A great command. He said, I'm the attorney guy. I stood in front of you in fear and trembling. I didn't come with enticing wisdom of men. I came in the power of the Spirit of God. That's the kind of preaching we need. I told Pastor Josh when he preached that Sunday morning when I was down, I went down to Owosso and preached down there. I said, Josh, God can take an average message and do more with an average message if you have the power of God in your life than he will with a great homiletical message and you have no power of God. It's less about the messenger and more about the message. It's about getting empty of self and letting God, the Holy Spirit, take over. Everybody go to 2 Corinthians. I'll get over there right now. Chapter 12. I know you're familiar with this. Look at chapter 9 and verse 8, first of all. Chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians and verse 8. But God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always have, having all sufficiency and in all things, may abound unto every good work. This is a pretty simple message I have. I'm closing with this. Verse 9 of chapter 12. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Doesn't say in talent. Doesn't say in good hair. It says in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Young man, you want a ministry that has the power of God. You want preaching that is God-breathed, that has the power of God upon it. That is far better than having talent and strength. Give your weaknesses to God. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. All I have to do is show up. That's it. Be a vessel. That's it. The calling of God. The calling of God to be saints. The calling of God to fellowship with Christ in the work of God. He says at the end of chapter 1, find your calling, find your spot. You don't have to have talent. God will provide that. Be faithful. Just be surrendered. Just be that vessel. This is it, simply in a nutshell. All we have to do is show up. That's it. God says, I'll do the rest. I believe Jesus is coming soon. If he doesn't come real soon, an old Pastor Rader does get to be 100 years old, and he sits over here, maybe not in his right mind, and gets to hear the preaching. I'm expecting a God-called man to step into the pulpit and swing for the fences. Step up to the plate and swing for the fences. That only happens with the power of God. Find your calling and be faithful.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.